Welcome to this beginner masterclass on making an impact glue layer for rag-infused chaos in Ableton Live 12. In this lesson, we're not building the main bassline or the drum groove. We're designing the short, dirty, rhythmic hit that helps the drop feel like it slams shut with attitude. Think of it as the moment where the breakdown stops floating and the track suddenly locks into place. In drum and bass, especially ragga-flavor jungle, rollers, and darker neuro-influenced stuff, the transition matters a lot. A strong impact gives you tension, release, swing, and that feeling of arrival. If the impact is weak, the drop can feel surprisingly flat. If it's too messy, the mix loses punch. So our goal is simple. Ugly, but controlled. We're going to stay inside Ableton stock tools and build this from a few layers. A punchy transient, a ragga vocal chop, a noise burst or reverse texture, and then some glue to make the whole thing feel like one event. First, open a new live set and set your tempo around 172 to 174 BPM. That sits right in a great zone for jungle, rollers, and darker DNB. Create a short 4-bar loop, because that makes it easier to hear how the impact leads into the drop. A useful place to put the impact is right before the new section starts. So if the drop begins on bar 5, try placing the hit on bar 4 beat 4. That last beat before the drop is prime real estate in DNB. It gives the listener a very clear sense that something is about to snap into place. Now let's build the core of the impact. Create a MIDI track and low drum rack. Put a short kick or punchy drum hit on one pad. If you already have a nice one shot, use that. If not, grab a clean kick from Ableton's core library. Don't worry about making it huge yet. We just want a solid transient. Inside that pad, you can add simpler if you want more control over the sample. Set it to one-shot mode, tighten the start point if the transient is a little late, and keep the gain healthy but not clipping. If the sample is too bright, low-pass it a little. You want the punch to read clearly, not just blast the high end. Then add saturator after it, or inside the chain if you prefer. Start with around 3 to 6 dB of drive, turn soft clip on, and trim the output so the level stays under control. This gives the hit a bit more density and helps it cut through a busy DNB mix. Here's a useful teacher tip. Keep this first layer simple. A lot of beginners overbuild too early. You want one strong anchor before you start stacking character on top. Next, add the ragga vocal layer. This is where the attitude comes from. Use a short vocal phrase, a shout, a chant, or even your own voice recorded quickly into the mic. Keep it rhythmic and aggressive. Load it into Simpler on a new audio track, or put it into the rack if you're building it that way. Use Slice or Classic Mode depending on the sample. Turn Warp on if needed, and trim it so only the useful part remains. If the vocal feels too polite, pitch it down by a few semitones. If it feels too long, shorten the decay so it becomes more like a bark than a phrase. That's often where the ragga energy comes from, not pristine singing, but a hard little vocal gesture that feels like a command. Now clean it up with EQ8. High pass it somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz so it doesn't compete with the sub or the kick. If it sounds boxy, pull a bit out around 300 to 500 Hz. If it gets harsh, tame a bit of the 2.5 to 5k Hz area. This layer matters because ragga vocals bring human identity into the impact. They make it feel like a statement, not just a sound effect. Now we need motion. That's where the noise burst or reverse texture comes in. You can use a reversed cymbal, a slice of vinyl crackle, a reversed vocal tail, or even a white noise layer from a synth. If you want a quick stock Ableton method, use operator with a noise source or a bright oscillator, then shape it with auto filter. A high pass or band pass filter works well here. Try starting the filter around 300 Hz and automate it up toward 2 to 6 kHz. Add a bit of resonance, but not too much. You want a swell, not a whistle. If you're using a reversed sample, just reverse it in clip view and line it up so it rises into the main hit. This layer gives the impact movement. In fast music like DNB, a moving texture often feels bigger than a static one, because it gives the ear something to follow. At this point, we've got three layers: punch, voice, and texture. Now we glue them. Group the layers together, either in a group track or with an audio effect rack. For beginners, a group track is usually easier to manage. On that group, add glue compressor, EQ8, and utility. Start with glue compressor. Use a ratio of 2:1 or 4:1. Set the attack around 10 milliseconds if you want to keep the punch, or around 3 milliseconds if the layers are too spiky. Release can be auto or somewhere around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Lower the threshold until you get around 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. If needed, Turn soft clip on. The goal here is not to squash the life out of it. The goal is to make the layers feel like they hit together as one event. Then use utility. If the layers are fighting too much, test it in mono. That's especially important for club playback. If you need a little width on the top layer, you can open it up a bit, but keep the low end centered. After that, use EQ8 on the group to clean things up. If there's rumble, high pass around 25 to 35 Hz. If it feels muddy, cut some other 200 to 350 Hz zone. If the whole thing feels too dull, a gentle high shelf around 7 to 10 kHz can help. This is the glue part of the masterclass. You're not making the sound bigger by sheer force. You're making it feel like one focused impact instead of three separate samples. Now let's shape the timing. This is one of the most important beginner moves, and it's often overlooked. The kick or punch should usually hit first. The vocal can land a tiny bit after that. The noise can begin slightly before the hit and swell into it. A really useful trick is to place the vocal about 10 to 30 milliseconds behind the transient. That gives you a nice call and response feel. And if the noise starts a little early, it creates anticipation. For example, if your drop starts on bar 5, you could let the reverse noise begin on bar 4 beat 3, then have the kick and vocal hit on bar 4 beat 4, and then let the full drum and sub section arrive on bar 5 beat 1. That's classic tension and release language, and it works incredibly well indeed NB. Now let's add a small delay tail for character. Put echo on the vocal or on the whole group, but keep it subtle. A 1/16 or 1/8 time setting, feedback around 10 to 25%, and a high pass filter in the echo are all good starting points. Keep the dry/wet low, around 5 to 15%. The idea is to give the impact a little swagger without smearing the drop. In fast music, too much delay can make everything blurry, so this is one of those cases where less is more. Now we can automate some movement. A very effective beginner move is to automate the filter cutoff on the noise layer, or the reverb dry/wet on the vocal, only in the last half bar before the drop. You can also automate saturator drive on the group, or the width from utility, if you want the hit to feel like it opens up for a moment. For example, you could take the reverb from 0 up to 20 or 30% just before the hit, then snap it back down once the drop lands. That gives you a nice burst of size before the groove returns to being tight and punchy. This kind of tiny automation is a huge part of modern DNB arrangement. It helps create that something is happening feeling without cluttering the main drop. Now bring in a drum loop and a sub bass so you can test the impact in context. This part is important. Don't judge the impact only in solo. In DNB, the arrangement is dense, and something can sound huge by itself but disappear once the drums and bass come in. So listen for a few things. Is the impact louder than it needs to be? If so, turn it down. Is it masking the sub? Then reduce the low end on the impact layers. Is the vocal too sharp around the upper mids? Then tame that area a little. Does it still feel strong in mono? Test that with utility. A lot of beginner mixing problems in this style happen in the low mids. That area between body, vocal chest, and break texture can get muddy fast. So if the hit feels thick but unclear, that's usually where to look first. Once it feels good, save it as a reusable rack or bounce it to audio. I actually recommend bouncing it once you like it, because then you can edit it like a drum sample. Trim the start, shorten the tail, try reversing it, or pitch it up and down a little to make different versions. If you build an audio effect rack, map a few useful macro controls. One macro can handle impact tone, another can handle blue, another can handle grime, another can handle width, and another can control the tail. Give it a clear name, like Raga Impact Glue 174 or Jungle Drop Hit Dirty, so you can find it later when you're working fast. Let's talk about the common mistakes. First, too much low end in the impact. The impact is not your sub bass. Keep the bottom controlled, and let the real low end weight come from the kick or sub. Second, too much reverb. It can sound exciting in solo, but in the full track it often destroys clarity. Keep it short and use it as a transition effect, not a permanent texture. Third, layers that don't line up. If the kick, vocal, and noise are all hitting at slightly different times, the impact can feel weak. Zoom in and nudge things. Tiny, tiny changes matter a lot here. Fourth, too much width. Big stereo sounds are fun, but they can collapse badly on club systems. Keep the low end centered and use width mostly for the top layer. And fifth, making it too busy. More devices is not the same as more power. If it sounds good with just a few layers, trust that. In this style, simplicity with precision often wins. A few extra pro tips before we wrap up. If you want more density, a little light drum bus or saturator on the group can help. If the sound is too clean, Try resampling it and editing the bounced audio. That can give you a rougher, more street-level feel. If you want a darker ragga edge, low-pass the vocal a little and let the consonants and mid-range bite do the work. If you want extra tension before the hit, try a tiny ghost sound just before the main impact, like a quiet reverse tick or vocal blip. Also, don't forget contrast. A short, dry hit often sounds bigger after a thin or quiet moment. Sometimes the strongest move is actually leaving a tiny pocket of silence before the impact. That space makes the hit feel much heavier. Here's a great practice exercise. Make three versions of the same impact. First, a clean version with just the punch and vocal and minimal processing. Second, a dirty version with noise, saturation, and glue. Third, a club version with tighter low end, a strong transient, and good mono compatibility. Then place each one at the end of an 8-bar loop and compare how they feel against drums and sub.